Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download Best Fiends for free. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a child crying in the night, unexplained cigar smoke lingering down the hall, and the unmistakable feeling of grief and sadness that one woman feels night after night as she tried to find peace in the small apartment she calls home. How and why did all of these things torment her? And was there ever a way to bring the spirits and the living peace at the same time? We ask those questions and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Excuse me. And if you like the show, I'm going to become a EPP, extra podcast person, as we call it. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
So this morning, I was going to work, and sometimes the traffic is kind of hard to get on. It's a busier street, so I'll go through a neighborhood. And get on the busier street a little less directly. So today, I'm like, I see a guy at the end of the block. He's like in the middle of the street. And he was walking really, 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 really slow. And I think it was probably somebody who was really high. Maybe a homeless guy who was really high because his clothes were all ratty and stuff. But I get up next to him. And he's like not getting out of the way. So I have to slow way down to get around him, right?
It's like The Walking Dead.
It was exactly like that. It was so weird because I get up next to him and like we made eye contact and I'm looking at him and he's just looking at me as I drive by. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like I just saw a zombie.
You did.
That's what it felt like. It was really, really weird to the point like when I turned the corner, I had to look back around to make sure I really just saw what I just saw.
That he was there.
That kind of creepy.
That is creepy. You know, yes.
Because the way he, like, he didn't move out of the middle of the road. I have to go around him. And then he wasn't giving me a look like, what the fuck, lady? It wasn't like that.
No.
It was just like this look, like nothing at all on his face. And he's just watching me, turning his head around.
There's a lot of that out there now. It's, yeah, I mean, we're getting closer and
like
closer.
Somebody off of a TV show.
Yeah.
Like The Walking Dead.
We are getting closer and closer to that, depending on the areas that you're at. You know, there, I mean, hell, there's a neighborhood down in Fort Smith where you drive through it. You'd swear to God you were in The Walking Dead. It's very much like that. And you're just kind of like, the hell's going on here? And like everything's kind of busted up and the people that are visible are very much like what you just described. And it's just kind of like, this really weird dystopian society that we have created where you can do that. And then, you know, you go 10 blocks up the road and then there's the Bed Bath and Beyond. And you know, all the stores, 10 blocks that way, Walking Dead. We're okay
and in
with this
particular neighborhood. It's like miles.
Yeah.
But, it's just the weirdest. It just kind of gave me the creeps because it was like almost like I really wasn't seeing what I was seeing sort of situation.
Sure. Oh, I'm amazed every time I spread my wings out of my little bubble here and visit any place these days because there's so much where I'm like, oh my God, like this is not good. I mean, and there's a lot of things that need to be addressed and a lot of things that need to be fixed because there's a societal crumbling going on, I guess.
For real.
I mean, I honestly, I'm not, this is just how it is in my area. It's a fucking bubble. It is. Walmart owns the area pretty much. And it's lovely here. I love it here because it's very insulated from a lot of things. We have there's crime, there's homelessness and that, but it's like under control, you know, so to speak. It's like 90s style. And then you kind of go out of this bubble unless you go to another bubble. Yeah. It's like, holy shit. I mean, that's why I ended up moving here, because I was not happy in other locations. It's scary. I mean, and I don't know what the answers are to any of this, but.
Yeah, because, like, I feel bad for that guy.
Sure.
You know, I just don't know how I can help him.
Oh, exactly.
You know, and I recently ran into somebody who, it really did unnerve me, because it was somebody I used to know. And I was going into the convenience store one day, and I made eye contact with him. He's sitting there playing guitar, and homeless guy. And mm-hmm. I said, hi. And he's like, Carol? Oh my God. I had no, even after you said Carol, I'm like, help me. I haven't seen you forever. What's your name again?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And then he told me, I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
It just really bothered me.
Sure.
Really bothered me. I mean, I did give him some money.
Yeah.
And he did not ask me for anything. But he's like, well, I'd love to sit and visit with you sometime. You know, you can just come down here. Just ask anybody for his name. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh
yeah.
God, it just broke my heart. Cause sure. Like to him, like, let's just get together. Just come ask any homeless guy where I'm at. They'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So I did actually, I was like, I feel like I should find him sometime and just make sure he's got what he needs.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's no, that's an interesting,
but the one today was just weird. Like, almost felt like I wasn't, like, it was weird. It was so weird. It unnerved me to where I had to turn around and go, is he still there? Like, did I just see a ghost or a zombie or something?
Bath salts. Who's going to eat your brain like the guy in California on the highway?
No, thank you.
Which actually happened.
I know. It's so weird.
I know. And back to our conversation in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. It's that 5-star rated mobile puzzle game that I've been talking about for a long time. It's my escape. It's where I say I need a little bit of fun, a little bit of time away, a little bit of just mental palate cleansing. And that's what it is for me. With Best Fiends, it's an exciting adventure puzzle game that you can play anywhere, anytime, because there's even the offline mode where it will still work even if you don't have internet, which is really kind of nice. How often do you let yourself have some hard-earned fun? Whatever the answer is, you deserve it way, way more, okay? I play it when I'm at the grocery store in those long lines, which I'm not a big fan of. But hey, I can do that while I just kind of sit in my cart and do that. I sometimes just go to the garden, hang out, relax outside, a little bit of me time. Best Fiends is a free-to-download mobile puzzle game with thousands of exciting levels, new adventures, and challenges every day. There's dozens of unique fiends to collect, so you can customize your team of fiends to defeat the menacing slugs. I'm in the 700s now on the levels. Yes. With offline play, you'll never be stranded without your fun, even if you lose your internet connection. Okay? Brand new challenges. It's updated all the time. You're never going to get bored with it. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play to download Best Fiends for free. Plus, earn even more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. All right, let's go to our first story. Talking about ghosts, less scary things.
Right.
So I've been renting a room. It's only a 1-story house for the last couple of years. Excuse me, it says. There had been a lot of strange things that would occur over the months within the house. Although I did wonder as whether to tell my Chinese landlord about it or not. I assume she already knew, as there had been prayer bells playing on repeat on radios within the house and the garage, each one mysteriously disappearing on occasion. At first, I thought it had just been my roommates becoming annoyed with the constant bells and prayers, until I lived in the house alone and things would mysteriously go missing. My boyfriend at the time returned to Taiwan for a little while. I promised him I'd keep the room for when he returned. During some of the months, I would be the only tenant in the house, all the rooms becoming empty as time went on, only to be filled by new tenants. The house became a revolving door. I would at times hear a little girl crying in the middle of the night. I'd smell cigar smoke when I was the only person in the home. I chalked that up as just wafting in from outside somewhere. But at times it was strange, unexplainable even. I'd sometimes feel heat upon my feet, upon my face, hot almost like a flame. Only moments later, to smell the familiar strong cigar smoke. When I wasn't alone in the house, on occasion I would hear a tenant yelling on their cell phone with a landlord on the other line. I'd usually have something to do with not being told that the house was haunted. Once again, I figured that she already knew. Eventually, I wanted to record my experiences in the house. Whether I'd hear a girl crying, I'd try to record it. Footsteps in the house, I'd open my bedroom door into the dark corridor, trying to capture at least something unexplainable that I've seen, so I could gather proof. There were plenty of times when I opened my door to see a pale, ghostly, floating face. A Caucasian man in his mid to early 20s, and only his face staring back at me from the dark. I had no Caucasian roommates, let alone any roommates without bodies and just floating faces. Yet when I would lift my phone to record, my phone would shut off as if it had no battery. There have been times when I did record or take a photo, only for the photo to appear distorted or to not even be in the gallery at all. It was tricky trying to catch them, but eventually I did. I felt quite alone in the city, to be honest. I'd wake up to go to work, come back home to watch TV or Netflix. Some nights I'd hear my dad's voice and my sister's voice coming from the hallway, despite the fact that they lived in different states than I did. I would say to let them inside. It would happen so often that I grew to ignore it by putting my headset on and listening to music. My cousin moved in one day. My family wanted him to come help me keep me safe. He often had a lot of things happen to him in the house. Things would be thrown at him. He'd wake up with scratches and burns. While I was in the shower at times, I'd hear a woman whisper in my ear, "Don't trust him." I'd turn, and no one would be there. I thought I was just sleepy, and I'd try to explain it off as maybe someone talking outside, and it just felt like it was right up into my ear. Whatever I could do to explain it. Later on, he proved to me that he was one of the most dangerous people in the city. Although at first I didn't understand why he was always attacked in the house. I guess the ghost had been right. I made him leave. I was once again just trying to survive on my own in the city, waiting for Mark to come back. I often tried to stay out of the house, go out with friends to distract myself, boba, food, gaming, whatever I could do to not think about it, waiting in the house. I made some new friends in the city. They seemed nice at first until I realized it was simply a facade. Most people are nice, and I often try to see the good in people. But given that I was a female alone in the city, I should have been more careful. This part of the story ties into the current goings-on within the house. As the months went on, I bought a spirit box. I'd ask questions, and they would answer. At one time, I asked, "Where is Mark?" just to see if they knew. They responded accurately with his squad. I would talk to them like I would with normal people. I respected them, and in some way, it made me feel less alone until I turned it off. Still being careful about it, and for months, I wouldn't talk to them. Things in the room would move around in front of me on their own, knocks on my door in the middle of the night, but still, I just tried to move on from it. It acted like the house was just like every other house. Mark told me not to talk to the spirits, given an experience we had in an apartment a few years ago. My family and his family say that I have a gift, just like my mom and dad, but I never really knew my mom. I would often come home, and something bad happened that day. It was like they already knew. Things in the room would be thrown. The lights would turn off on their own. Sometimes I would go through my room trying to find something. I'd lay on the bed and just close my eyes, giving up on trying to find it, and I'd feel a pressure on my stomach, as if something fell on me from the ceiling, only to look down, and whatever I was looking for was right there. It happened quite often. One day I just laid in bed thinking. The overhead light in the room turned off, and I was lying in the pitch black room, only my solar panel lights remained on. Picked up my phone and started to record. I asked them, "Are you there?" And the light turned on in the closet and then back off. I began to ask them about my new friends, and it was like they already knew. The light would turn on for yes and remain off for no. In the end, I asked them, "Do we get along?" And the light turned on, remained on for the rest of the night. I was quite upset with those new friends for a little while. When Mark returned, he and the landlord took me to a temple after the landlord said he saw a black fog in my room. I explained some of the spirits I had seen and described them to them. The landlord confirmed that she knew the house was haunted. We went to the temple to meet with a monk she trusted. Although he didn't know what we discussed, he had described the spirits in the same way I described them to her. Mark and my landlord looked over at me, their eyes wide after receiving a confirmation. The ghosts A man who was hung, little girl, little boy, a young man who died in a car accident, a tall shadow, a weeping woman in a white dress. He confirmed it all. Then the landlord asked them to remove the spirits from the home. They later came to the home, and although I am sad they may be gone, I'm happy they're able to be free if they had a choice to be. I think the little girl and the boy are still here with the shadow and the young man. I can still hear her crying at night sometimes. The monk later told the landlord they won't leave until she does. He also told her that I am close to the spirit world and removing me could anger them in their house. The importance of that is that my landlord's son had a crush on me and wanted to have a relationship with me, but I was still waiting for Mark. He got upset and tried to threaten to kick me out for not giving him a chance. So it's nice in a way that even in death and being unseen, that they're still protecting me. Just a random tenant in a random room in their home. And so here I am, still in this room. And nothing bad has happened to Mark or I. It's just nice knowing we're not entirely alone, no matter how alone we may feel. There you go.
Well, there was a lot in that story, and I didn't get a lot of it. Like, why couldn't you leave? Why did this Mark want her to stay? I'm assuming it was her. I don't know. Maybe it's him. But why did Mark want them to stay? Like, okay, if you're being terrorized, wouldn't your boyfriend be like, get out of there, go to another apartment? I didn't get that. Then I didn't get like why they sent someone to live with her in a one bed or him in a one bedroom apartment. And then that person ended up being like one of the worst people in town. And there wasn't any more details. I'm like, well, go back, go back. I need to hear more about that. You know, so a lot of it just didn't totally make sense to me.
I don't know if it was sensible or there's just a lot of poor decisions involved in the story that were, you know, playing with playing along with paranormal. I don't know why the boyfriend was like, yeah, go ahead, stay there.
Stay there and let your like really bad cousin or whoever that was with you for a while.
Well, they said like the family sent him there. So I don't know.
The end, the whole deal then with the son having a crush on that person, like,
yeah.
There's just so many things going on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then going, oh, well, my real friends are the ghosts. Now that's like you kind of need to go get some help for that. But they got rid of some of the ghosts, but not all of the ghosts. And then, like, they're going to be unhappy if that person leaves. So then I'll just stay in the room forever. Once again, it was kind of a little like a movie.
It was.
And it would make a good movie. Because then you stay in there forever and you can't leave because they won't let you.
Here's an idea. Here's an idea for a movie where you have a dad and there's a widower's spirit that's able to communicate with children after his death. So he dies, but he comes back and talks to the kids. It gets in all sort of wacky experiences. I think you could call it maybe Ghost Dad or something like that. I wonder who'd be a good maybe Ghost Granddad. No, Bill Cosby would be a good.
No, creepy.
Oh wait, it was already done. It was made. You want to freak out your family this weekend?
Pick up
a copy of Ghost Dad. Bill Cosby, as you've never seen him before, invisible.
Which is really creepy now.
Which I think was actually most of the movie. He was invisible. So it was kind of like, ooh, special effects with a really horrible movie.
And looking back on it, like the last thing you want is a Bill Cosby who can see you, but you can't see him.
They should just make a Ghost Dad 2 and say Bill Cosby is in it, but keep doing like the you can't see him thing. And he's doing really horrible shit, you know? And then he gets, I don't know, there's like an exorcism and he's like banished to hell. That's how it goes.
Or he gets arrested and then gets out of it. Gets to go back home.
Yeah, gets to go back home and do all sorts of more.
He does bad shit to all kinds of people and nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
So weird.
Yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. The Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony. This is Tyler. I hope everyone's doing good, and I love your show. I've called in before, but haven't really had the chance to call in since then. And, you know, just not really anything interesting in my life going on in terms of paranormal stuff since the last time that I called. And, you know, this one is definitely paranormal, but it has to do a little bit with spiritual sort of, I don't know what you would call that. I think it has to do with like angels or something. And this is really interesting because something like this has never happened to me before. And that's what really made me want to call in about it, because everything I've ever called in about before was purely like energy or, you know, some sort of spirit making themselves known to me by making sounds or something like that. But this was definitely a lot different than that, but still paranormal in my opinion. So it's kind of hard to talk about the whole story. This has been something that's been really hard on me because it has to do with something in my life that really destroyed me. I got some bad news about someone pretty recently, and it just, you know, I haven't been dealing with it too well, and usually I'm in a better mood when I call, but you know, I the past few weeks I've been seeing the number 13 everywhere, like everywhere. So I'll go walk around the street, I'll see number 13 on the bus or you know, stuff like that. And even online on my phone, because I'm on my phone all the time, I would see the number 13 everywhere. And I was like, well, is this bad luck? Because, you know, the number 13 is not necessarily the best luck with all the superstition and all that around it. So I looked it up online, and I was reading multiple things online were saying how that was actually a sign from angels that they are with you and they want you to give them, you know, your fear and your sadness. And that number, seeing it constantly in terms of, I guess you would call it an angelic sign. I don't know what the word is for that, if I just said that wrong, but basically a sign from an angel. Another meaning to that number, seeing it all the time, can be that something bad is coming up, like a bad event in your life, like something that happens that's not good, pretty much. And in my case, I think that's what it was trying to warn me, because, you know, for the past few weeks, I was seeing the number 13 everywhere, and I just thought, okay, you know, it's just a coincidence, nothing's going to happen. And then the night before the day I got that really bad news, I had a dream that I don't know where I was, but this woman came out of, like, out of the darkness or out of the fog, and she was talking to me, saying stuff like, it's going to be a long way home, you need to go home. And I realized when I woke up that dream, it was actually an angel. And now that I kind of think about it, it just, you know, I've never been super religious, but it was almost like they came to me the day before this bad thing happened because they knew I needed to know that they were there. Because in my life recently, I felt really alone. You know, I've been someone who struggled with depression for a really long time. And just talking about it brings back all the dark thoughts. And I've always tried to be a happy person. You know, I'm someone who always tries to make other people smile because I know how hard it is to struggle with depression, and I never want anyone else to deal with that. And you know, just the fact that I was seeing 13 everywhere for a couple weeks, and then the night before I get this really bad news, I see that what I think was an angel in my dream. And you know, they were talking to me a lot, but I just forget most of what they said. But the one thing I remember that made me realize I was talking to an angel is, it's a long way home, which I interpreted as I'm in heaven right now, because I was in this kind of like foggy, cloudy place. And, and it was just interesting. And I hope I described this okay. I hope I wasn't too sort of confusing with all the details. But Yeah, it's just, it's really interesting to me because I've never had a situation like this happen. Now, there was a time back in the fall when I was seeing the number 13 everywhere, and that's when I originally actually found out that it has these meanings behind it. And, you know, nothing bad happened to me then. So at first I didn't know if this time when I was seeing 13 everywhere, if it was just another coincidence, but I do believe my guardian angel was looking out for me and wanted me to know that they're there, because if I didn't have that, I don't know what I'd be doing right now. So that, yeah, that just kind of helped me in a way. But yeah, I mean, I've been kind of struggling lately after I got this really bad news. It had to do with someone I knew. They pretty much stabbed me in the back, and I thought I could trust them. You know, it turned out I couldn't, that sort of situation. But to have that sort of support from another place, from another realm, especially the night before this happened, that's what made me realize there is something watching out for me, and I'm not alone even when I feel like I am. So I hope this gets on the show. This is probably the deepest sort of story I've ever had in terms of paranormal related stuff. And yeah, I mean, I would love to hear this on the show and what you guys have to think about it. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for calling and sharing that, and hang in there.
You know, I definitely think that you can get some really good life direction and dreams.
Sure.
And I think that sometimes when you reach a dark, and especially like that breaks my heart, you know, somebody you really trust mm-hmm. betrays you, and that's really hard, you know, it's just hard, you know. It could be a really important relationship and that person betrays you, and it makes you look at the world differently when that sort of thing happens.
Turns you into Pam Hop.
Oh my God, that woman. I've been watching that show. Anyway, she's crazy. But I definitely think you could get a sign like that. And you know, when you look at it, it's like an angel. It could be, you know, someone who you loved and who's gone. I don't know. But I think that, you know, it's just that sometimes life gets really tough. But you pick yourself up, you figure it out, you know, go ahead and you can feel bad for yourself for a while, but pick yourself up and you got to move on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, when people betray you like that, it's like, as much as it sucks, mm-hmm. it's like, well, at least you're getting them out of your life.
Yeah.
Because you don't need those people in your life. And so I hope that that realization kind of sets in. But that's just hard. But I definitely think that's kind of out of a really difficult situation. That was a really beautiful thing that happened.
It was. I like it a lot. I think it was really cool. I was going to make some sort of Della Reese touched by an angel joke, but I'll refrain.
Just the fact that you said it, that was enough.
That's all you need. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you could have one television angel from the late 80s, early 90s following you around and guiding you, Michael Landon or Della Reese?
I'd definitely go Della Reese.
Or you, here's the third option. It's not an angel, but it's something from another planet. You could also have Elf.
I could have Elf.
Elf, but he's like, he's not hidden. He's not, he's there. He's with you at all times. And he's, you know, he tries to eat cats. So.
Oh, no, I have cats. A cat. I'm getting ready to get another cat.
Yeah, Elf would not work in your house.
Yeah, not at all. I'm sticking with Della.
Okay. I like my cats, but I think just the opportunity to have Elf following me around, I think the cats would understand.
The gruesomeness with the killing of the cats, I can't live with that.
Well, that was only on that one episode that aired after the Disney Sunday night special that starred the Jackson 5. And it was that one bloody scene where Elf goes in to below the house in the crawl space. And it's supposed to be a real funny scene because it's supposed to be like fur flying everywhere. But they used real cats in the scene. and there was a live episode of the show, and the character, the puppet that played Elf, actually had very sharp teeth, and literally, literally, it was like a meat grinder. It went through like five tabbies right there, Sunday night television, after America's Funniest Home Videos and the Disney Sunday night movie, which just happened to be Swiss Family Robinson that night. And then,
here's the scary thing about you. You can tell a bullshit story like that exactly like you would tell a real story. Like, you don't break. You don't start laughing. You just keep going with the story. And there are people who are like, Jesus, I didn't know that happened.
Because I remember shit of that sort of detail from the past, but like none of my stories are real. So it's just like, yeah, because it was after Boogity. It was Bride of Boogity on the ABC Sunday night movie.
Right before Swiss Family Robinson.
It was going to be a double feature, but there was a special Elf. And it was right before the promo for the next movie. It was like, tonight an all new Elf on ABC. And then it's like, Elf finds the cat, but does the cat find Elf? And then it cuts to the scene, and the cat's being torn apart. They got so many calls into the switchboard that night. There was like an overload on the phone networks in New York were cut off that night because so many people were calling in to complain about Elf eating the cat. And,
well, of course.
And they had to replace the Elf costume and everything because it had blood all over it. PETA was up in arms. There was people protesting. There was, you should have seen, there was riots in Times Square the next day with people. They had Elf like in a noose, and they were demanding that he be put away. And it was horrible. It was people dressed in cat suits. They were there. And then the production of Cats.
Yeah, like that wasn't enough.
Well, Cats on Broadway, then they paid tribute as well to the cast that lost their lives. And they added a new scene to Cats where the cats brutalize an Elf doll. Over the years, because people don't remember this incident that much, they've changed the character up from time to time. For a little while, it was O.J. Simpson. They would all violate the the doll. And then years later, it progressed into who's the villain of the day. So it's been a lot of people over the years.
Okay. Little did I know.
It was Mike, Gary Condit for a while. That was right before 9/11. And then they had, I believe there was the Osama doll, the cats, but it never went back to Elf ever again. And nobody ever speaks of it. And the video clip of this incident, it's like Shazam or what's the one with Shaq? It is Shazam, I think. Yeah, that never existed. Same thing with this, that Elf scene. Damn, that was I have nightmares sometimes.
So it's like, that's when the villain would come out and they would be like, Osama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they
turn your face to the moon.
Yeah, and it started with Elf, and they just kind of put new characters in there over the years. I'm trying to think, like the Enron guy. He was on it for a while, and oh gosh, who else? R. Kelly. There was an R. Kelly doll where the cats would violate the R. Kelly. So,
but then they could take the song "Memory" and just put in whoever it was.
Yeah. But now it's I don't even think they're
about that person.
They're not performing anymore, so it's it all.
Well, once they put that damn movie out,
yeah.
God, I went and saw that movie. I laughed so hard, it was like I couldn't quit. Like I was on some kind of weird drug.
And how horrible it was.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think I could subject myself to that. I remember
you
seeing
haven't
the,
done that?
No, I remember seeing the previews going.
God, that's, you have
that's
to.
Two
you
hours,
have to.
Two, I don't have two spare hours of my life to give to that. I don't know. Maybe when I go to bed some night, but I'll probably have nightmares then. No.
Oh my God.
Anyway, try to find that Elf scene. If anybody finds that Elf scene, let me know. Because that.
Okay, that's good.
That's what you got to look for. I said it, so it must be true. All right, that's right. Going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you guys like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening. And for, Elf, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.